Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. Your Saturday is sorted, a stellar weekend of racing, and we've got tips, insight and everything you need to know for every race live on ITV this weekend. So much more to come over the next half. Now we'll be starting at Ascot for the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth II stakes, one of the summer highlights of the racing calendar. Will it be Calandagan for France, Jan Bruegel for Ireland, or Calpana for Britain, or many more? We'll be dissecting the big race in detail. Our top tipsters will also be looking at the International Ascot, a brilliant betting race this, one you can't afford to miss, as well as two Group 3 races. We'll also be heading heading north to York, where there's a middle distance showdown to look forward to, including potentially a forgotten contender in this year's arc. I touched on Goodwood. That's because it's to come next week. Don't forget, you can miss our glorious Goodwood special at 7 o'clock on Sunday. I'm your host, James Stevens. Joining me this weekend for the action is, in the top right, Johnny Pearson, our Racing Post handicapper. Bottom left is Keith Melrose. Top tips are from the Racing Post. And as always, Unibet's Ed Nixon in the other corner. We're going to start at Ascot. And the big race of this weekend is the 410 at Ascot, the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth stakes. A winner for France 12 months ago. Will it be a repeat with Calandagan? Well, he is your joint favourite on Saturday as it stands with Unibet 13-8, along with Jan Bruegel for Aidan O'Brien, not had a win in this race since 2016. Calpana 9-2, Rebel's Romance, the brilliant Godolphin winner at Royal Ascot, is at 5-1. Continuous, a likely pacemaker for Jan Bruegel, 125-1 outsider. Keith, great to have you back on the show. Talk us through the King George on Saturday.
Well, yeah, we're getting used to small field King Georges. And yeah, we've got five runners here, one of whom is a pacemaker in Continuous. And I mentioned Continuous first up because I think there's sort of a reason he's significant, in that he's there to make the race suit Jan Bruegel, who's a St. Ledger winner, bit of a roller really, rather than a quickener. And I think there's a good chance a race that suits Jan Bruegel is also likely to suit Calpana. And I think with Calpana, we're also possibly forgetting a little bit quickly. She was put in as among the favourites for the arc for a long time, very open looking arc. The reason for that was basically we thought at the start of the season that the likes of your Jan Bruegels were there for the taking. Calandagan, obviously, he can't run in the arc, he's a gelding. But, you know, these middle distance sorts, they were there to be usurped by an improver. And Calpana hasn't necessarily gone away in that regard. You know, she was third in the Tatsells Gold Cup, good run there. But also second in the Pretty Polly. That was seen as a bit of a poor performance from her. It was like £2 off her best on Racing Post ratings. And she travelled better than the winner Whirl, but didn't get past her. And there's a little bit, did she get out battled, etc. They finished at 107%. They actually really did quicken. She conceded the run of the race a little bit to the winner that day. And I think there's a chance she's just a roller and she's a horse that needs a bit of time to get going. She didn't race it too, of course. She only started racing last year and just kept progressing and kept progressing. And there's just a really good chance she's a horse that needs a few runs to get going and maybe isn't a quickener at this level. You know, that's what we're sort of talking about. She's obviously won all-weather races and stuff where she's had to pick up, but she's running against horses 2 and 3 stone inferior, so that doesn't matter. We've maybe written her off a little bit too quickly. Nothing Jan Bruegel's done this year has told me that he is a superstar. He's a better horse than I gave him credit for last year, no question. But he's still not standing astride the heart of like a colossus or anything. You know, when he's 7-4 and Calpana's 9-2, there's only one bet for me, and it's the filly.
Yes, and of course, looking for a change of luck for Judmont. They've had the second in the last 2 years. Bring you in here, Johnny. Are you with the French, the Irish, or the British?
Well, I'm just going to have to be with the Irish. Jan Bruegel is, in my opinion, the best horse in the race. I mean, you go, okay, last year he wasn't winning by far, but he was winning. Didn't win by far at Epsom, but he won. And yes, you can look at Epsom and say most things that weekend, on the weekend of the Derby, won from the front. He did have the run of things. But the time of the race was very good, you know, direct comparison with the Oaks. It was much faster than that race. He's got pieces on for the first time because, you know, they still think he's a bit quirky, but the ability's there. The ability, you can't miss that. But, you know, Calandigan's gone and won well since. Kalpana did actually run pretty well behind Wells. She's got good form, but I think this is a stretch too far for her. But at 7-4, I'm probably not actually going to back or have a bet in the race. But what I have done already since Epsom is I have backed Jan Brugel for the Arc in October. And hopefully you can go and justify that bet by winning the King George this weekend.
Interesting insight into what you're looking at further afield. Let's come to you, Ed. We've discussed the two at the top of market there. We've not mentioned Rebel's Romance yet. Just wanted to touch on him. I mean, he was so brilliant at Ascot. Is he the forgotten horse here?
I think so, yeah. I mean, any of four can win this race, I think. We're offering Super Boost at Unibet. In fact, every one of the ITV races on Saturday, we have a special offer. So keep listening out for those. But yeah, any four of the five can win this race. I think it's a no bet for me, but it's a glorious watch. I mean, it's going to be a fantastic race. As you say, to have a look at the tactics, Continuous would make it a stamina kind of mile and a half for his stable companion. But as has already been mentioned, that would suit Kalpana, who will like that kind of race as well. And Rebel's Romance, you know, how many Group 1s and Grade 1s has he won in his career? Winning the Hardwick, who, you know, it used to be that's the race you won before you won the King George. So, yeah, any four can win. No bet for me, but I'm with Jan Brugel. Relatively lightly raced, only been beaten once in his life. Those cheap pieces are interesting. Ryan Moore, we've said before, I mean, everyone talks about what a great jockey is, but when we were analysing the Eclipse, we said it might be tactical, and he got those tactics right, didn't he? So I think any type of race Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien will be ready for. So he would be my selection. But yeah, it's a great race to watch. That's what I'll be doing.
Yeah, most certainly is a fantastic race. And Keith, I'll just come to you one last point. Johnny's mentioned the Arc, which is a fascinating picture because I was looking at some of the odds. There's no single price runner for the Arc at this point in the season. It's quite fascinating. Not always the case. It's usually a three-year-old, which is potentially a standout, or a four-year-old who perhaps won or ran very well in the race last season. Do you think that might change? Are we going to have much of an influence on the Arc come Saturday? I mean, you touched on Kalpana, which this is the obvious target this season.
Yeah, well, I can't remember a time when there wasn't a single figure price on the Arc at this stage. It's really, really open. You tend to find in open years, the picture solidifies around that trials weekend when they have the Vermeil and the Niel. So I would be looking more to that. You'll probably find some Frenchling comes out and wins well there and goes off, you know, 5-1 favourite for the Arc. So it is just an open year. I do expect a French 3-year-old to emerge from somewhere, because that's what tends to happen in these open years. Because I do think, and as I mentioned before, I think the last year's good 3-year-olds are sort of there for the taking. And obviously, given what I've just said about the King George, I'm hoping Kalpana can stamp a bit of an authority on this race. But you would expect that anything that comes out of this race and goes for the Arc, and you'd have to say it's her or Jan Brugel, is going to get held back now for the Arc. They've both had a few goes this year in Group 1 races. The general sort of pattern is you give them that break before the Arc, so whether they'd have a prep run at all or just go straight there is what you'll likely see after whoever wins this race. So yeah, I expect the winner goes, maybe it does go single figures depending how impressive they are, but I don't expect you'll see much more from any of these horses before Longchamp.
Yeah, the only lesson we might not learn is if Calandigam goes and wins by a long way, of course, being a gelding, as we touched on. But of course, don't forget, Blue Stocking was second in this race last season and went on to win the Arc. So fascinating race. What do you think? Do let us know in the comments. And as always, do make sure to tell us what you think of the show. Like, if you fancy some of our selections as well along the way. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Ascot, the Moët and Chandon International Handicap. 77 grand to the winner. The champagne corks will definitely be flying if you manage to, well, win the race or back the winner, because we've got 11-2 the field here. Cracking betting heat. Arcadian Thunder and Alto at the top of the betting at 11-2. Classic. A friend of a postcast, I think he's almost fearing to be, at 15-2. Zoom Zoom at 9-1. Northern Express, who won the race last year, is 11-1 along with Billy Joe. Array at 12s along with Oliver Show, Fresh and Cody Lion, as well as Kazakh. 14-1 bar is Yorkshire. Let's come to you, Johnny. As I always like to say, we're on the show. It's a big handicap. What does the handicapper like?
Well, To start with, my was first drawn to Billy Jay, who I tipped up a few times. And he ran pretty well at Newmarket a couple of weeks ago, you know, not beaten too far, come third. And 7 furlongs clear game. Ascot should suit the way they tend to run here. But, I mean, I don't think he's quite well enough handicapped. There's one that's actually caught my eye at quite a big price, and that is Sword for David O'Mara. He was with, I'm going to say, John Gosden last season. He's moved over. Qatar have come out of the ownership, and that would explain that. And they've moved out. They've moved trainer. They've dropped him down to 7 furlongs this season. Okay, this didn't start off great. Then he won in the second start at Leicester, which is a straight 7 furlongs. Okay, it's not quite the same as Ascot, but it's a straight track. He's run reasonably well at Haydock and York last twice, both on round tracks. They're too far back, given far too much to do. Races haven't been run to suit, not enough pace on them. And I think there'll be plenty of pace in here. Mark Quinn, you know, he's running off 8.6. You know, it's a lightweight jockey on board. If provided they go to pace, as I expect them to, Sword could be one lurking there at a big price.
Big price indeed. 25-1 with Unibet is Johnny's fancy in the international. What have you got for us, Keith?
If I told you I've got an each way bet in the race, you'll probably all figure out that it's on Fresh, who, to my mind, was sort of born drawn on the wrong side at Ascot. He always seems, when he's fancied, to be in the wrong place draw-wise. But his record here is obviously superb. He's drawn here 19 times up against 339 rivals, you know, averaging about 17 or 18 runner fields. And he's won 4 of those races, been second in 3 of them, and third in another 2, including, point of as a matter, sort of case in point, this race last year, where he was drawn in 18 of 18. The winner was drawn in 1 of 18. Only beating half a length. So yeah, he's had a lot. His record at Ascot could be even better if he'd had a little bit more luck through his career. He's coming here off 1 run this season, but that's what they always do. They give him 1 run for fitness, and then they send him straight into these big Ascot 6 furlong, 7 furlong handicaps. He doesn't need it to be soft ground, even though he is fully effective on soft ground. Obviously, it was Midsummer ground last year when he was third in the race, and he has actually won this race before in the past. I think it was 3 years ago. So yeah, I just an each way bet on Fresh. He's in 16 this year. I don't see an awful lot of pace in this race, and what there is on the higher side. So I think Fresh is in the right place. He's coming here, you know, with the usual prep that he has, not handicapped badly. I think he's a really, really solid each way bet.
At 12-1 is Fresh. Now, Ed, we mentioned our old friend Classic, who seems to run almost every week when we have a show. Are you with him? Are you looking at something else?
Well, he's not my friend. He's always lost when I've backed him, and then he's won when I haven't backed him. So, I mean, I can see this race being run to suit because, as we all know, the straight mile 7.6 at Ascot tends to suit horses that are held up, and he kind of doesn't need to get there until late on. So I can see him running a good race, especially as he got his head in front last time. But I certainly won't be backing him. I'll be looking for him and hoping he's one of the first to be ridden because he's just a horse I always get wrong. But so good luck if you do back him. I'm in agreement. I've gone for Fresh. Similar reasons. Very good Ascot record. In fact, half his 38 races have been at Ascot, which is incredible, really. And those wins include those runs include a win in this race, as was mentioned. And that was a good kind of like pipe opener last time out. So, yeah, Fresh would be my selection. I remember I selected Alto in this race last year, following Alto's win in the Bunbury Cup. He comes here again, having won the Bunbury Cup. But I did start to look at him because this is the sort of race he does well at. And when the Ian Williams handicap is hit form, you tend to follow them. William Buick's on board, and he's got a very good record for Ian Williams. I was looking at his record, 22 successes from 158 rides. With a profit of £22 for pound stake. So he is a jockey that Ian Williams does like to go to. But yeah, I'm going to stick with Fresh. And I think we are going extra place. There will be extra places available. And everything that's been said, I just think it's a good each way solid selection, Fresh.
22 runners in this race, so an extra place is very well needed in a race like this. We're going to spin through the 2 Group 3s on the card now. That's the Sodexo Live Princess Margaret Stakes, a good indicator for 2-year-olds, and another fillies race at 220, the Longines Valiant Stakes. We'll come straight back to you, Ed. Talk us through those 2 races. What do you like?
Okay, so the opening contest on ITV is the Group 3 Princess Margaret Stakes, which is always a good race, always a race where kind of fillies have had one run or possibly two runs, and they're being thought of Guineas horses maybe for next year, but certainly for Group 1s towards the end of the back season. I was really impressed by the Dubawi filly, Dance to the Music, last time out. When he beat Eskimo Pie, she takes on again by quite easily. Was only given one tap by William Buick, was given a beautiful introduction to racing. I think this could be quite a special filly. Quite a late fall, late April. So it is, you know, will improve immeasurably for that race. Already 33-1 for the Guineas. And that race at Newmarket that she won on debut has been a race in the last 8 years that 2 1,000 Guineas horses have won. So two winners of the 1,000 Guineas have won that race at Newmarket on their debuts. And another three have been pattern horses. So it is a good race, a good stepping stone. This is another stepping stone, a Group 3 already in the Lowther. I'm expecting Dance to the Music to win this before going on to even better things at the end of the year. The other Group 3 is a Valiant Stakes at 220. I thought it's quite interesting. I had two for the kind of big price horses. I've gone with the ground. I'm not too sure what you've been told about the ground, but I wouldn't think there'd be going to be much rain. I don't know if anyone's heard differently. So I was looking for a horse that may be better on good ground than good to soft. And Lulu's Gift is the one that came to my mind. William Haggis has won this race 3 times in the last 20 years, with only 12 runners. And Lulu's Gift doesn't look an obvious one. Won handicaps off 81 and 88 last season. But ran better than you would have thought, the final position suggests, at Chelmsford in that race. The Queen Charlotte pulled immeasurably hard at back and still kind of finished her race. That was the first run for over a year. She's bound to come on. William Haggis's horses are in great form, as they always are, July, August. And I just thought at a big price, double figure odds, that Lulu's Gift has got a chance.
Okay, so Ed's selections there in the 140, Dance to the Music for Godolphin. You did mention Riddle and Buick. Billy Locknano actually rode him on debut, just to clarify. Lulu's Gift in the 220, the other one. Keith, what do you like in the two?
I was interested in the weekend if she'd run in the Princess Margaret, but she's not been declared. And likewise, there was a price going on the second favourite in the 220 Royal Dress, but that dried up pretty soon after Dex. So I'll be sitting these out.
Okay, Royal Dress, one that Keith did look at earlier in the week. We're recording on Thursday, so we're just getting through those select declarations. Always a nervy time seeing what is confirmed. Johnny, have we had any heartbreaks at the declaration phase, and what do you like?
No heartbreaks here. I think Flowerhead looks a far too big a price than being honest. You know, she's second at Royal Ascot, 100-1 that day, but she'd put up a pretty good speed figure the time before that, we're winning at Chepstow. She's finishing well behind True Love, who's since gone out and won again, and she just looks far too big. Step up to 6 furlong, like to suit. She's finishing pretty strongly. Flowerhead, for me, should not be the price she should be much closer to favouritism, so going to have a bet on her at the prices. That was in the Queen Mary. And in the, was it the 220, we're going to head back towards my adopted homeland of Ireland and look to Willie McCreary's horse, of David Eganborn, that's Jancis. She was in the Pretty Polly last time, but not finishing too close to Whirl and Capana, but didn't run badly. Before that, she's behind Port of Fortuna, was pretty good. She's been behind Port of Fortuna a few times, but you know, on her second run, she was won a listed race as a 3-year-old last year, or Group 3 even. She's dropping back down and tripped in 10 furlongs from the Pretty Boy last time. I think that's a sure positive for her, and I don't think she should be as big a price here. For all, she will probably have to improve a little bit to sort of beat the likes of Royal Dress, but I think she's a good each way bet here.
And that's Flowerhead at 13-2 in the 140, and Janice is at 17-2. So 2-1s at a bit of a price for Johnny. There's one more race sandwiched in between those Group 3s and the Group 1 King George, and that is the 335. No selection for Johnny here. Ed, you have got a strong fancy here, though. What is it?
Yeah, I've got Cosy Bello here at Ascot. Probably the wrong type of horse you need for a handicapper's as competitive at Ascot as this. He's only had 3 runs But each of those runs have been really promising, and he's developing into a decent handicapper, or will develop into a decent handicapper. I think he's group class myself, maybe listed, but I think he's black type in the future. And the reason for that, first time up at Chelmsford, he put in a really good display to win. But it's the next two races that highlighted his potential to me. His win at Kempton, the time experts that day, I was talking to them, they were going apoplectic. Like, they thought the time that the horse put up was actually pretty decent, especially compared with some other horses that have been running over the same course and distance and the same conditions in the previous couple of weeks, including the same day. And then was made favourite on the back of that for a handicap at Chester. And it ran really well. I was there that day and had a nice draw. Couldn't get off the rails when George Wood wanted, I think, but then came in between two horses and was finishing strongest of all. Put up the fastest final two sectionals, furlongs. And I think this horse will continue to improve. He was actually put up 2 pounds for finishing second by the official handicapper that day. Now on 95 after just three runs. I think there's a lot more to come. Slightly worried about the draw, stall two. Slightly worried about his inexperience, but you're getting the price for that. You can get double figure odds. So, yeah, Cosibello for me at around about 10-1 will be the selection. And I'm looking forward to seeing him progress as well. I think he could be a horse to follow in the future.
Yeah, Ed, and it should be saying that when you're speaking to your mysterious time experts, that's how you found your Albany winner Venetian Sun put up way back before Royal Ascot. So maybe one to take note of. Keith, you've not got a fancy in our last ITV race at 3:35, but you've got something for us elsewhere on the card.
No, it's a good day's racing at Ascot, and all Whirlpool as well, actually. And I do love a Whirlpool swinger on a non sort of ITV race, because at that point you're really going to be playing against a lot of dead money. I do quite fancy Azure Angel in the 5:15 at Ascot. It ran very well in a much more valuable race at York than the best of the front runners on a day where the pace collapsed and they let Squealer in. He's been going the right way all season, really. And now I think got a really good chance of winning that 5:15. It's not on the telly, but yeah, I'm going to be formulating a way to play that, because it's a race that it tends to be good to me.
And Keith loves those big sprint races. And join us after the break. We'll be hearing Keith's thoughts on the big sprint of the day over at York. Okay, we're on to part two. We're heading north and heading to York. And we're going to start off in the 2 o'clock at York. This is a Sky Bet Dash handicap. This race won by Rage of Bambi 12 months ago. We've got a potential group winner in the making lurking in the field. We'll have to wait and see. Your favourite is that 5-1 Pocklington. Elmon Jed at 11-2. Jubilee Walk 13-2. Toya Tomy for David O'Meary won this in 2023 at 17-2. Stripe Red at 9s. Alizir at Hens. 12-1 is Elise Dancer and Arctic Thunder. 14-1 bar. Keith Melrose, we know you love these big sprints. Talk us through the Skybet Dash at York.
So, yeah, part of this is going to depend on the going, because they're saying good to soft at York at the moment. Not an awful lot more rain forecast. The softer it gets, the worse it gets for the high drawn horses in these straight course races at York. So, if it's good, I mean, it's always low, preferred slightly. But it equalises a little bit more when the going gets a bit quicker. There is a cluster drawn high that are of some interest to me. Sergeant Wilco is a prominent racer, drawn the highest of all in 22, and is likely to take along Arctic Thunder and Strike Red, who are both fairly interesting. And Strike Red's a sort that comes good mainly at the back end, but you know, he doesn't need to. He's run some good races this year. But assuming that general bias holds, you're looking at the sort of lower drawn horses, and there's a cluster in 5, 6, and 7 that are really interesting. And that's Pocklington, we've talked about, made his reappearance at Newcastle in a big handicap there, got really well backed that day. And these, it's the Reg Bond colours, they always seem that they always get targeted at York races. So this has probably been the natural aim for him since. Al Zahir, who's a horse that I've talked about in my Form Hacker column, I was on him nice and early for his win at Chester, and then haven't backed him again since for his last two, and I've made a bit of a mistake with that. This horse really is there as a sprinter now, and actually ran well over a mile at the Dante meeting here, and has now won a 5-furlong heritage handicap. I think people just didn't realise that he's a scene of stars, and it took everybody a long time to realise sort of what he is. But we've also got Jubilee Walk, who I think is the one horse. If you're taking a selection from me out of this race, it's Jubilee Walk. He won a big 3-year-old handicap at the Dante meeting last year. He went off favourite for the Holyrood House off the back of that. and ran okay there, but it was definitely the York runs I want to take from him. And after that, he went over to Bahrain and stuff, and he's obviously had some difficulties, I think, since, because he had a tongue tie and wound surgery before his last run at Chester behind Al-Zahir, when he didn't get the best of runs through, but he was well backed. He was 130 joint favourites. So they obviously think what they've done with his wind and with the tongue tie has had a good effect. And if he's back to the horse he was last May, he should be favourite. So I think Jubilee Walk is a horse I'll be with, definitely. I'll probably play it a few ways, to be quite honest, but he is likely to be my best result.
Jubilee Walk, the selection there for Keith. And you may have mentioned Get It, who, of course, was over in Bahrain for a stint at time, came back to the UK. And, well, he's been in blistering form, hasn't he? Won the Stewards' Cup last year and the Wokingham this season. Ed, what's your selection here?
Yeah, I've got a quite strong selection, which goes against Keith. Normally, we kind of tend to go for the same horses in these handicaps. But I've gone for a Least Answer. Came back to form at Pontefract last time. And if you watch the race, I love watching a race where horses in tight handicaps always lead and are always two or three lengths clear, because that means they're just in a different kind of time zone to the others. And it's normally from a horse that has either shown form before and goes back to that form, or is an improving horse that just keeps on improving from the front. And at least Dancer made all that day, has also come from behind at York to win. So the fast pace, if it was too fast, it wouldn't be too bad. And the jockey for him is on board him on Saturday. Kevin Stott has ridden the horse 9 times and he's won on 5 occasions, plus a third. The horse has only won 7 times in his life. So Kevin Stott knows the horse extremely well. That Silver Trophy win was off a rating of 87 at Pontefract. He has won off 91. He's back on 91. And he was in the mid-90s up to 97 as at his very best. So I think as a horse is coming back to form, to me, looks like he's probably ahead of his handicap mark. And he's got to go well on a track we know he runs well at. So Elise Dancer, the going is good to soft. But as Keith said, I've looked at the rain charts and it probably won't be raining at all, so it'll be won't be worse than good to soft, probably be good. He's got form on good and good to soft, so Elise Dancer ticks all the boxes for me, and I'll be having a bet on him for sure. And we're also going, James, extra place. I did forget that we're going extra place on every handicap in the ITV racing scene this weekend. So the International Extra Place, the Betfred Handicap Extra Place, this Extra Place, and the Nunthorpe Jockeys race later on, we're also going extra place.
Okay, so Jubilee Walk at 13-2 was for Keith, and Elise Dancer at 12-1 for Ed. What's your selection, Johnny?
Well, it's interesting that Keith was very quick to mention the draw. My first draw, the one that he mentioned, called, was it Strike Red? Is that the name of the horse? I can't actually see it at the minute. Strike Red, you know, he won at York at the back end of last year, off a mark of 93. He's backed out to 93. But drawn in 20 puts me off a bit, and I can't be having him. When Pocklington was making his reappearance at Newcastle last time, I did give him a bit of a mention, and he went very, very close to winning. Okay, and he's only gone up £1 for that. And provided he doesn't bounce, which, you know, he's been given about a month between runs now, so I think he'll be fine. I think Pocklington could be very hard to beat here.
Pocklington, the likely winner for Johnny. Move on to our fourth race in focus. This is the 240 at York, the Sky Bet York Stakes, where I mentioned at the top of the show, potential Arc Dark horse, that being Al Makam at 33-1 with Unibet. Been waiting for this horse for a while. His last race, he beat Omnisman at Sandown. The rain has finally arrived. We know he likes plenty of cut in the ground. We're going to find out just how good he is, because there's a really good lineup for this York Stakes, a Group 2 contest, and leading the market is Al Makam at 4-5 favourite. Stanhope Gardens at 7-2, last seen finishing 5th in the Derby. Bay City Roller 13-2. Green Impact, another runner along with Stanhope Gardens for the owner Mark Chan. He's an 8-1 chance. Royal Champion is 14-1. Certain Lad is 18-1. And Ecroy Secret, winner of a handicap at Epsom at the Derby meeting, is 22-1 outsider. Let's come to you, Ed, first. Talk us through the York Stakes.
Well, I was quite impressed by Stanhope Gardens going into the Derby. The fact he won over a mile on a prep that wasn't ideal. He didn't, to me, he either was too quick to get into the race and it wasn't the best preparation, or he didn't stay the mile and a half. So this drop back down to mile 2.5 is probably ideal. He's been given plenty of time to get over that run, and I thought he was the most likely winner. So Ross Orion on board, I thought that was the icing on the cake. So Stanhope Gardens to get back into the winning groove.
Yeah, of course. Only beaten a neck by Delacroix as a two-year-old last season. Mm. Keith, what's your verdict on Stanhope Gardens' run in the Derby? I'm not certain about the idea of preparation, but I'm not sure if he did stay.
That was what they reckoned. They came out and said he didn't quite stay. I wondered if it was the fact that he hadn't had the best prep. You know, he literally had to have a jog round at Salisbury 2 weeks beforehand as a means to get him ready. I thought he actually shaped probably second best in the Derby. Now, Delacroix ran no sort of race, so I'm not necessarily saying he's a better horse than Delacroix. But on the day, I think with everything being equal, he'd have finished second to Lambourne that day. And on that basis, he'd probably be favourite here. And likewise, you know, his form with Delacroix as a two-year-old was one of the best bits of form from any of them in the Derby before that race. So, yeah, I'm interested in him. I'm also interested in how they keep campaigning this Green Impact in the same colours as we've talked about. They keep campaigning this like a really good horse as well when they've got Stanhope Gardens. Different yards, of course, but the same owner. And yeah, Green Impact ran, he basically went from winning a listed race straight into the Irish Derby last time. Ran okay in finishing sixth. And, you know, he is a horse that he's still not had many goals in these good races. They ran him in a Group 1 as a two-year-old. There's obviously something there that we've not seen yet. And he's hinted at it without actually showing it. So, and the fact that they're running him against Stanhope Gardens says that they've got plans for both these horses. I'll probably Dutch them, you know, and take those two against the field.
Okay, so Keith is with the Chan horses, Stanhope Gardens and Green Impact. Johnny, we've not touched on the favourite, Almacam. Any reason you would want to take him on? And if so, why?
Well, I don't particularly like seeing horses that are the odds on and when I'm going to be having a bet. You know, he's got good form, but he's been beaten enough times in good races over the past 12 months. You know, you've got to go back to, he's won twice at Sandown in May over the last 2 years in a listed race in a Group 3. Okay, Odmundson or whatever his horse is called is behind him, but I don't think it was the strongest race. The second would have needed it that day. And obviously he went on to win impressively at Royal Ascot, but I can see enough reasons to be taking him on. And Al Azi, again, I can see enough reasons to take on. Same with Nation's Pride and a few others. I thought Ancient Wisdom would have been a certainty had they run last weekend. I think it was at Newmarket or Newbury, one of the others. But he ended up being a non-runner. And with the other two, I've fallen on a Mark Chan horse. And that is, I'm going to go Green Impact. I thought, you know, Stanhope Gardens shaped well in at Epsom. But I'm not 100% convinced by him. I'm not sure it was the trip that caught him out, and the prep wasn't ideal, but I don't think he's a 10 furlong horse. I think he's a mile and a half probably. Green Impact, you could probably say the same for, but I'd rather see him over 10 than I would Stanhope Gardens. I think he's pretty good. He finished off the race well last time. He's still been pretty green, pardoning the pun there, but I think there's a lot more to come from him still, and I think he's the one that I'd want to take on the favourite with at an each way price.
Okay, another selection for Green Impact then. That's in the 240 at York. There's one more race on ITV. Keith and Johnny not wanting to get involved in the jump jockeys done for, but Ed, you're being the brave one to have a go. What do you like in this one?
Well, it was a rare winner for me last year, so I better keep to that race and the same formula. I've gone for a jockey who has won on the flat and has been riding on the flat of late, actually. Jamie Hamilton had a ride at Chester in one of these type of races behind Mr. Mullins, and has won three times on the flat from 38 rides. But he's much better known as a jump jockey. He's won 243 races over fences, hurdles and on bumpers since 2012. And he rides a horse that he really just has to shoot and point. I mean, that's unfair, but Copper Knight just loves to run fast, doesn't he? He's won most of his races at Chester and York. 108 career runs and 17 wins, of which seven have been at York. He's run at the course 32 times, so he'll know which way to go. And he showed good form recently at Chester when when winning for Duran Fentiman, the first time Duran had won on him. So he's a horse that you don't need. You're not too complicated on him. Jamie's obviously a great horseman and is well capable of winning over this distance on the flat. And I thought with a horse that likes the course, still in form, even though he's getting a bit old, a bit like myself, thought he was worth continuing with. So Copper Knight is the selection. And we're also going that extra place, just to give you a bit of a advantage there, extra place in what is a handicap.
Yes, that's the 3.20 at York. That's all the ITV race has done. Not so much jumps action there, only a little bit, but don't fear not. We've got all the Galway selections covered as well in the coming days on the Racing Post. We will be looking at our best bets of the weekend after this short word from our sponsor.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time in the show where we have to nominate our best bet of the weekend. Keith, you're going to go for the big race. What's your big fancy?
Yeah, King George. And just Calandagan and Jan Brugel, yeah, we talk about the rivalry being renewed, but ultimately, these are horses who can get beat in Group 1s. And I'm going to try and get them beat with Kalpana.
Kalpana in the 4.10 at Ascot. Johnny?
I'm going to take a chance on Sword in the International Handicap at 3 o'clock at Ascot. Straight 7, I think, a suit. Drawn 22 of 22. Not 22 of 22, but yeah, it is drawn 22 of 22, sorry. And I think the lightweight, I think everything's in his favour here. I think it ran a huge race at a price.
Johnny, he's gone for a 25-1 shot. So close to pulling off a huge winner in our Royal Ascot show. Hopefully there's a bit of justice for Johnny in the 3 o'clock at Ascot with Sword. I'm going to go for Royal Dress, a horse that Keith touched on earlier in the 2.20 at Ascot. Really good winner last time. I think conditions at Ascot will be perfect, and she's my fancy in the 2.20 at Ascot. And finish us off, Ed. I think we know what you're going for, but it is...
Yeah, Cosi Bello. We've heard plenty about handicappers running in handicaps at Ascot who are group performers in the making. Especially during Royal Ascot. And I think Cosi Bello might be one of those. He's rated 95 after 3 runs. He's only had 1 run on turf. That was at Chester last time, when I think he probably ran his best ever race in defeat when he had a couple of things against him. So he's got a couple of things against him today as well. The draw might not be the best drawn to, and he's the least experienced horse in what is a competitive handicap. But because of that, you're getting double figure odds. So at the time of recording, Cosi Bello 10-1. That will be my nap of the day in the 3.35 at Ascot.
Thank you very much, Ed. And to all our panellists, Johnny Pearson, Keith Mellors and Ed Nixon, as I mentioned. And to you for watching along as always. If you're a fan of a show, do make sure to let us know. If you've got a big fancy yourself, let us know in the comments and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any top class content from the Racing Post ahead of a fantastic weekend of racing. And next week is going to be potentially even more brilliant, because it's Glorious Goodwood and Galway, one of the busiest weeks of the show. Loads of content coming for you. Plenty of tips, plenty of advice for the next few days of fantastic summer racing. So do make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single thing. But for now, do enjoy your weekend. Goodbye. And of course, gamble responsibly.